It's been nearly 4 years since the federal government said no to the Coquille tribe, denying its request to put a casino on land the tribe owns in South Medford. But the denial did not stick, and the process has resumed. What would have been a lengthy process involving environmental impact statements and other paperwork was cut short by the earlier denial. And then the Interior Department, under a different president, opted to at least complete the process. Coquille proposal for a Medford casino has plenty of opponents, including other tribes with casinos in the I-5 corridor. The Medford City Council, once on record opposing the casino proposal, is now officially neutral. Councilor Nick Card and Jessica Ayers are visit with us this morning to talk about the view from City Hall and their positions. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To be here.
Good to have you here. Well, let's talk a little bit about your personal feelings on having the casino move into the area. We'll start with you, Nick.
Absolutely. Like you said, the city council as a whole has adopted a position of neutrality. Personally, I am opposed to this. That's what's happening here with the casino, in a large part because when we talk about what's going to happen, the actual nuts and bolts of what's really going on here is whether or not the Bureau of Indian Affairs is going to approve the tribe to bring that land into trust. And what happens to a city is as soon as that land goes into trust, it becomes a black hole in the middle of our jurisdiction. We lose all control. We lose all ability to influence. We lose all ability to set policy. We lose land use control. We lose building code control. And so for me, having a casino in the middle of an urban area where we have zero jurisdictional control and our neighbors are all depending on that sort of shared community, that's not something that's good for Medford.
Jessica?
Yeah, on a slightly positive note, I mean, I really enjoy what the Coquille tribe is doing from an economic standpoint, you know, the hotel, what they've done with the golf course. I think that that's all fantastic. We need it. It's a positive impact on our area, but I too share the same views as Nick, and I know a lot of my people that I've worked with in business and my constituents feel the same way, in that we just don't want it in Medford.
To some extent, hasn't the tribe tried to mitigate some of the concerns about a willingness to pay for fire and police and other things? Has that swayed you at all, any?
Well, definitely that's something that I do want to give the tribe recognition for, because the tribe really did come to the table. They put together a fee-for-services agreement with the city, and we spent quite a few months negotiating that, and then council adopted that fee-for-services agreement. One of the big questions about fee-for-services agreements is their enforceability in federal courts. Many fee-for-service agreements have gone to federal courts and have not stood up after litigation. And so there is a few examples of success, and as a city, we have looked to those examples that did stand up in federal court to craft ours. There's always that concern, though. What happens if our fee-for-services agreement, which helps provide those services and provide some of that backstop to make sure that those jurisdictional losses are mitigated as much as possible. Well, if that agreement goes away, well, what then?
The city council has moved to this neutral position on it. What does that mean?
It really is a reflection of the fact that the city council has no voice in this issue. And really, our community has no voice in this issue. This issue is entirely in the hands of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the process that they have adopted, you know, that's the legal process for this, is basically they get to make the decision. And so as a council, we have no voice to use in this matter because there is no official mechanism for us to have voice. And so neutrality is sort of our recognition of that fact.
Jessica, you touch a little bit on the economics involved of having a casino come in. You know, I was thinking earlier today coming in about how we've seen an expansion in legalized gambling in different forms in the United States in recent years. Of course, sports betting being one of the most prime examples, and an expansion in lotteries and other games of chance. This is a question you probably can't answer, but down the road, are we looking at the reality that Indian tribes may see their own bottom line impacted by not being allowed to expand into these new competitions that they face for the gambling dollar. I mean, does that have any impact on decisions regarding Medford?
I don't know that I can really speak to that. I know that a lot of our local business owners were concerned about the impact to their business with the tribe coming in and doing a similar type of gaming. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, we've always had the stance of one casino per tribe in Oregon, and that still seems to be preferred by our state leaders. So, of course, you know, they're, like I said, they're doing a good job of expanding their footprint in other ways. And to be honest, so is the other tribe. I mean, look at all the things that they have going with the ranch, and they all seem to be diversifying their offerings beyond gambling.
Have we had any studies done to project what kind of economic benefit or liability would come to Medford just in general?
From a community perspective, I'm sure that the Coquel has done some analysis. I'm not familiar with the results of that. On a city level, we did look at an analysis to determine from a revenues perspective, tax revenues perspective versus this fee-for-service. Definitely the city is better off under the fee-for-services agreement than we would be with just collecting revenues out of property taxes, as an example. And so in that sense, it is a benefit for the city from just a pure dollars and cents perspective. And we have a number of protections in our fee-for-services agreement to make sure that if levels of service that we're required to provide increase, then the fees increase as well. So I'm pretty confident that the city itself, in terms of like the city government, will be made whole in whatever happens with the casino. That is not to say that the same thing will be true for other tribes, other businesses, or the general sort of social welfare.
I want to clarify something that you said earlier, that if this does go to a federal management system on this particular little parcel of land, what is it, about 240 acres, is that right? Something in that neighborhood?
It's smaller than that.
Okay, all right. If at some point it does go to that, will the Medford City Council have any say-so whatsoever, or are you going to be completely locked out of any decision regarding if they approve that?
Once the land goes into trust, the tribe retains exclusive jurisdiction over that land. As a sovereign nation, the only other entity that has any ability to influence what the sovereign tribes do is the federal government within a very limited purview. Effectively, that means that the city, the only mechanism we have as a city to influence anything that happens on that piece of land is through our fee-for-service agreement. And if that fee-for-service agreement, today, that fee-for-service agreement requires certain things like building codes and other stuff that I don't expect that the tribe is at any time going to change and adopt practices that would put any of its patrons or members unsafely by having unsafe buildings or what have you, right? But that isn't to say that that fee-for-service agreement is always going to stand up. We don't know. That's an unknown, as well as what might happen in the future in terms of the expansion of that land, that once that land goes into trust, the process is different to grow the trusted land adjacent to existing trust land. So there are other possibilities in terms of what's exactly going to happen to that part of the area. And again, being in the middle of an urban environment, we're not talking about, you know, a casino like up in Canyonville where it's surrounded by a lot of land and it's close. Closest neighbors are decently far away. There's buffer zones. We're talking about this is right on Highway 99, right adjacent to a small neighborhood, and there's other existing businesses that have been there. And so, you know, trying to manage the impacts, thinking into the future, is very difficult to do with any kind of certainty.
At some point in time, excuse me, let's assume that it gets approved, the federal thing goes through. You touched on this about trying to manage that in some kind of way that would make sense for all the parties involved. This has already been a multi-year process, 10 years or something, right? I'm assuming that it's going to open up a flood of litigation to try to stop it. And so we're probably not looking at something that's any kind of quick decision, are we, in this process?
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we don't know where the BIA is. They have no obligation to talk to us. They have no obligation to keep us posted. So if you said, Nick, what's the status today? Where's the BIA? How far away is a decision? It's just as likely that they're going to decide tomorrow as they're going to decide 5 years from now. My guess is that for political reasons, the BIA is going to try to wrap up its decision before the end of this calendar year. Mm-hmm. And then you're exactly right that then it's going to go to litigation and there's going to be a whole nother process. So I would say if everything happens as the Coquille tribe desires it to happen, I still don't think they're breaking ground on a casino for another few years at the earliest.
I'm not asking you to speak for the tribes that are in opposition to this, but what are some of the concerns that they have expressed to you about this particular project?
I think mainly just, I mean, the obvious, you know, Medford is their service area, and they feel like, I'm really trying not to speak for them because obviously I can't do that, but I just get the sense that they feel like they've done what they're supposed to do on their end, and now they feel like the Coquille is not following the same guidelines.
Have you heard similar things, Nick?
Absolutely.
So going forward, even though you're somewhat limited, what is the Medford City Council going to do in this process in the near future? Are there small things that you can do to address any concerns that you have?
We've done the most important thing, which was negotiate a fee-for-services agreement. And so the city is trying to operate from the fact that this decision is entirely out of our hands. So therefore, we have to assume that it's going to happen. You know, we have to assume all the possibilities. And so because we have no say in this decision and we have no ability to set policy after the fact, having a solid fee-for-services agreement that we've put the time into to negotiate really well, to protect the city, as well as make sure we have something that has the best shot of standing up in court, that is the key step. And so the fact that we've got that negotiated, the council has adopted that, that agreement is the tool that we have. That's the sum total of what we can do. Or, I mean, there's also, you know, public influence. We have our bully pulpit and we can stand up and beat the drum. But I'll tell you, I don't think Medford, Oregon has a whole lot of say-so when it comes to what goes on in bureaucrats' offices in Washington, D.C.
I imagine you hear a lot of testimony on a number of issues at city council meetings where you try to point out that you're not the federal government and you can't really overrule. Take that to the Supreme Court, but don't take it to the Medford City Council.
That is happening a lot lately, yes.
Yeah, I bet it is. For people who would want to get involved in this process, to express their opinion or anything like that, what's the best way that they can go about that?
The best place to influence this is at the federal level. And so that means reaching out to senators and your congressmen and the president directly. There is nothing that the state of Oregon can do about this. There's nothing that the city, there's nothing that the county. Our hands are tied completely. I mean, it's not that our hands are tied. It's that we have no voice in this process.
Jessica?
That being said, there are multiple ways that citizens can reach out to us. Email, phone, and of course, people are always welcome to show up at the council meetings and have their 2 minutes of public speaking time. And we really do appreciate that because, you know, when this came forward for the vote to change our stance to neutrality, we didn't hear a lot from people before that occurred, but we heard a lot after it happened, and definitely a lot of folks speaking out in opposition of this proposed casino. So I do think it's really important that people come forward and let us know what their opinions are on these things.
Well, thank you both for being here today. We've been speaking with Nick Card and Jessica Ayers. They are councilors on the Medford City Council, and we've been talking about that proposed casino from the Coquille Tribe officially back to a neutral status. And best of luck in your future endeavors on the council.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.